Welcome back to the broadcast, second hour of American Exposé. Here we are. And, Paul, I remember, as I have a nitrogen bottle over there at the shop here,
yeah.
It stayed more constant than CO2 or air.
I was just thinking that if there are any listeners out there that commute maybe a couple hundred miles to work, like around the Los Angeles area or New York area, and even if it costs you maybe $30 or $35 to make the conversion from air to nitrogen, it might be cost effective for them. But every little bit helps nowadays, since the cost of gas is going up. I think it's gone up last couple of weeks down here in South Florida. It's gone up about 15 to 20 cents a gallon. But then again, I saw on the financial news, I think the end of last week, that a barrel of oil was now under $65 a barrel. So, and it usually is about a two-week lag between prices. In other words, if the price goes down, it's going to be about 2 weeks before that that crude oil goes through the refinery and is available to the public at the pump. So I don't know what to say here. I just thought I'd throw that out to your listeners, and you know, if it helps somebody out who, you know, puts a lot of miles in their vehicle in the course of a year, it might be cost effective for them to do that. If you only, you know, run down to the store, you know, one of these deals, and just do local driving, it probably wouldn't be worth your while. But I just thought I'd throw that out for your listeners. It might help somebody out there.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm sure they do, too.
Yeah.
And we'll learn more about it as time progresses, more than likely. As people, you know, here we have governors parking their SUVs for hybrids. Well, hybrids are very, very expensive. And they're making a statement for people to go out and park their SUVs and buy hybrids. Well, think of all those people that have car payments down in Katrina-ravaged areas, and their car payments have been relaxed for 3 months, and yet they're strapped to these car payments forever. How can you want to make a car payment on something that you're never going to drive again? Isn't that just pretty dastardly? What kind of situation would we be in, Paul, if this was the situation for us?
They'll probably just repossess the cars. And I'll tell you what, in Venezuela, you can buy a gallon of gasoline for anywhere from 12 to 15 cents per gallon.
Right.
Okay. Now, what they'd probably do, I mean, if I repossessed several SUVs, you can send those cars down to South America, and you can get three times the sticker price for them that you can in this country. That's true. A lot of stolen cars go right on the boats down here in the port of Miami, and they're on their way to Colombia or Venezuela or wherever. And once they're out of the country, you can kiss them goodbye. There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, that's my concern, too. I've had that concern in the past about, you know, my truck, which is nice and desirable for many.
You know,
I watch it with a hawk. I don't drive it anywhere without my dog in it, you know, to protect it.
Well, yeah, okay, Chris, that's about all I've got right now. I hope maybe that information will help somebody out there if it's cost-effective for them.
Let's hope so.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you. Be back to continue with the broadcast. Welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. We do have the Council of the Americas, and they're thanking their appreciation and congratulations to the members of Congress who voted to approve the U.S. CAFTA-DR trade agreement. The deal positions the U.S. and its partners to enhance their mutual competitiveness in the global economy. And there's the crux of the situation, the global economy, listeners. We have a listener that wants to elaborate on nitrogen, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, Chris. This
yes.
is Ron. I'm calling from Oklahoma. And we use a lot of nitrogen in our work in the broadcast industry and for transmission lines that go up to very tall towers. But as it relates to tires, you've been around racing. I'm sure you know that one of the problems you have if you put air in a conventional tire and race with it, the pressure builds so much that you can have blowouts because of the heat, the air getting so hot. Well, nitrogen won't do that, and that's why they do pull all the air out of the tires and put nitrogen in to replace it. And another thing is, air has got a flammable component, and it's called oxygen. And nitrogen is just nitrogen, and it's totally non-flammable. So it helps from having tire fires or, in our case, fires inside transmission lines and so forth. But as far as the cost of doing it, that's mainly what I wanted to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
There is no conversion necessary to do it. All you have to do is to let the air out of your tires the conventional way by pulling the valve out.
Right.
And then you air it up with nitrogen, and then you take the valve out again and after you've drove it around the block, so to speak, and purge it by taking what remaining air was in it mixed with the nitrogen out. And that's all there is to it. And as far as the nitrogen apparatus to do such a thing, as you was talking about, you have a nitrogen bottle there, and they're about the size of an oxygen bottle with an oxygen acetylene rig. And the same exact regulator that you use for oxygen will work on nitrogen. The only exception being you've got to watch how much you turn the regulator up, because instead of trying to get like your welding regulator is capable of putting out 150 PSI, you're probably not going to want that much pressure. So you just have to watch where you set it. But you use the same hose exactly you use with oxygen, and you just get one of those little valves, the female valve that fits the Schrader valve on your tire, and you put that on the end of the oxygen line. And you're ready to go. No adaption required anywhere.
Do you see an advantage of putting nitrogen in tires for gas mileage purposes?
Yes. Here's why, though. Not what he was talking about. He's half right, but he isn't right. The problem with that is it has nothing to do with the weight of oxygen, air, or nitrogen. But it does have to do with the expansion of the increased pressure because of the tire getting hot in the summertime. So there's no way you can ever set your tire pressure at the correct pressure, because it depends on, if you've ever noticed in the wintertime, you have to air them up, all of them. And in the summertime, you're maybe worrying about way too much pressure. If you go out and set your pressure like the tire company tells you to do, get out on the interstate, drive it for a while, you'll find out you picked up 25 or 30 pounds.
Right.
Well, that'll stop that. So you have the same pressure all the time.
Yeah.
So can you set a better pressure to run on and get better gas mileage? Absolutely.
So in other words, with regular air, it's going to increase the pressure over a period of time with the heat.
With heat. Now it'll go right back down as soon as it cools off.
Yeah, that's why we use nitrogen in the shock absorbers.
Exactly, and you use them in racing cars and tires nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they used to, but they do now.
Yes. So there is an advantage to using nitrogen in tires.
Absolutely, and as far as, let's talk about the expense of it. I was just talking to my son about what do we pay for an average bottle refill, and it's $10. And that's for a bottle about the size of a bottle of oxygen for a oxygen acetylene rig. And I don't know how many tires one bottle would do, but since you're dealing with 1800 pounds pressure before you go through the regulator, I'd say it'd easily fill up four tires.
Uh-huh.
So $10 to do the whole thing except for that little thing you're going to use on the end of the hose that fits your tire, the tire chuck.
So maybe you're going to try and do that?
Well, we're capable of it right now. We just have never done it, but yes.
Maybe and Ronnie can do it. And
I think it would be a great thing for Ronnie to do.
Good experiment.
So anyway, I thought I'd call and tell you what I knew about it. But nitrogen is a non-flammable gas, and it just don't change with temperature.
There you go. Well done.
Okay, that's all I had.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to me.
Okay, very good. Very good information, and those that drive that need to do this might want to try and experiment with that and see what happens. Very, 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 very logical in my thoughts now that I think about it some more. So, Paul, thank you for bringing that up. Here we see the Minister of Defense for Chile is urging cooperation in the Americas, listeners. The Americas. See, this is the UN system unfolding in our hemisphere. Quote, we consider that the nations of our region are our primary partners in the quest for solutions to problems that, in one way or another, affect us all. And that's an end quote. Said Jaime Revenne, during a speech given at the Council of the Americas. Revenne, who was appointed in October, denied that Chile has any territorial desires and noted that Chile's policy is to modernize its defense arsenal, not to increase its stockpiles. And certainly we've had lots of breakups and wars in that neck of the woods in the 70s and 80s. Here we see former president of Costa Rica discusses security issues in Central America. Nobel laureate and former president of Costa Rica, Oscar Arias, discussed political, social, and security issues in Central America and talked about prospects for future regional growth. In 1987, Arias drafted a peace plan to end the Civil War, then spreading across Central America, which served as the basis for the accord signed by all the Central American presidents. And, you know, there's more to this. Then we see Condoleezza Rice. Quote, free trade promotes growth and opportunity and can thus benefit all, end quote, said U.S. Secretary of State, who delivered the keynote speech of the 35th Washington Conference of the Council. Quote, to further the cause of freedom in the Americas, the U.S. Congress must approve the Central American Free Trade Agreement, also with the Dominican Republic, end quote. So we see these globalists trained at an early age to propose and promote the One World Agenda. And see, here is the U.S. Secretary of Defense praising leaders of the Central and South America in his address to the Council of the Americas on May 3rd. Quote, today the countries of the region are working together in a very constructive way, end quote, according to Donald Rumsfeld, who is Secretary of Defense now, who was Secretary of Defense during the Gerald Ford administration. Quote, they're learning forward in support of democracy and economic opportunity and recognize that cooperation with respect to security matters is certainly central to political and economic success. Now, what is democracy, people? Two wolves in a sheep pen arguing over who's going to eat the sheep for dinner? You know, the situation that we have with what's going on around us today is most unfortunate. And this is why I keep coming back to environmental modification. And now we're being promoted to the bird flu pandemic, where our governor, Brad Henry, in Oklahoma says he won't be able to enforce an evacuation. The military will have to come in and do it. And then you see the movie Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman. and you see all these proposed directions coming down, coming into place. And keep in mind, the Council of the Americas is 40 years old, listeners. 40 years old. And there's where we are, people. Jeff in New Mexico, welcome to the broadcast, Jeff.
You mentioned Jeb Bush today.
Yes.
You know, I first learned from the People's Weekly World, that newspaper of the Communist Party USA.
Right.
That Jeb Bush is married to a brown Latino American woman. And the CPUSA editor cut down then-President George Bush Sr. for calling his own grandchildren of Jeb Bush and his wife as the little brown ones.
Huh.
And I hear the music. I had some more to say on
that. Okay, we'll be back. Stay with us. We have Jeff in New Mexico with us. Jeff, continue with your thoughts and direction.
Yeah, do you think they heard it, the listeners could hear it good enough over the music, that first sentence, or do you want me to read that one over again?
I didn't hear anything that you read, so go ahead, start over.
You know, you mentioned Jeb Bush, and I first learned from the people.
No. I'm sure they heard that.
Okay.
I'm sure they heard that, I thought you had more.
Yeah, I do. Okay. Even more than the United Nations influences, I feel these sorts of intermarriages of people like Jeb Bush and his brown Latino American wife and their little brown kids. These kinds, when push comes to shove, are part of the reason for the sympathizing that invites Mexican military to help in Hurricane Katrina aftermath and for our wishy-washy immigration policies on more and more.
I don't know whether that has any relevance to the situation. If Jeb Bush wants to marry someone from another country, another race, I can't turn it down. I can't object to what he's doing. If that's what he wanted to do, he wanted to do it. I mean, if someone finds someone from another race that he falls in love with, I can't stand in that person's way. Can you?
Well, the point I'm trying to make is when people say they want to stop immigration, there's too many people in these interracial marriages, international marriages, that sympathize with the illegal immigrants, so they don't try as hard as they could to just keep them out.
Well, actually, this all emanates from the UN system, and you know that. You've heard it over and over again. The people of Mexico could have their lives better fulfilled if NAFTA was fulfilled the way it was supposed to have been fulfilled, but it wasn't. And the point is, NAFTA was set up to keep people from coming into this country to make it better for them down there, and it wasn't. And so we have these situations that are maneuvering us and manipulating us, and we have Border 21, the ultimate goal of GATT, NAFTA, WTO, is to eliminate the borders entirely. And this is all under the guise of the UN system, the United Nations. And that's where it goes. And then that's where it comes from. And that's why our Border Patrol can only return people that come into this country illegally, supposedly. But actually, it's legal migration. President Vicente Fox of Mexico made that statement when I was off the air back in 2002, stating that my people coming to America are not illegal. They're legal under human rights treaties. So this is what's being directed here. It is the UN system. You can't bypass that. It's there. You've got the State Department implementing migration. And if you study the State Department, you'll see it in there that migration is well instilled, well in place. Here, right here from the State Department. There are more than 175 million migrants in the world today. People leave their countries for many reasons, including war and civil conflict, the desire for economic improvement, family reunification, and environmental degradation. Well, what are we dealing with? Wars created crisis. environmental modification, create a crisis, to engineer people to migrate to America, to destroy it and its constitution. And this is all being done through the UN system and the State Department, who has the U.S. mission to the United Nations.
Yeah, I think the United Nations does have these influences, but
They have more influence than most people realize because they aren't getting the publicity. But if you do the research through the State Department, and you'll see what's going on through the State Department, they have the Bureau of Population, Refugees, and Migration. Have you ever heard of the PRM?
No.
They work closely with the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Labor, and relevant international organizations, the International Organization on Migration, the IOM, and the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, the UNHCR, and that's to advance U.S. migration policy goals. So if you don't take it to the State Department, where are we going? Nowhere. The State Department engineers all this. Nobody knows this, but if they went to the State Department website and researched it, they would find out the truth, just like I've done.
How about big corporation influences like Walmart, the 24-hour-a-day, you know, so people say Americans won't take these jobs working graveyard shift at Walmart, so we got to have these immigrants.
Well,
Did the United Nations make it a 24-hour? It used to be like in the old times, people only had their stores open during the day. And then you wouldn't need these immigrants to come in because nobody would have to be working graveyard because people didn't believe in that. They believed people should sleep at night and work during the day.
Listen, I know lots of people that work graveyard that aren't from other countries.
Yeah, I've done it myself.
And people are hungry for employment and jobs. And we have a full board, Jeff. I've got to move on. But I appreciate your call. There's people with college educations that are hungry for a job. People that have families that are hungry for a job that have to have a job. Let's go to Alan in Texas. Welcome to the broadcast, Alan.
Hey, Chris. Yeah. Thanks for your show. I'm really enjoying listening to it.
Thank you. Stay with me now, Alan.
Hang on.
We go to the commercial pause. Bureau of Migration, people, and Bureau of Population, Refugees, and Migration, the PRM, needs your attention from the State Department, listeners. The State Department, who's the Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, fulfilling one of those goals of Agenda 21, putting females in position of prominence. We'll continue with the broadcast with Alan, Tim, Sheldon, Dylan, and John. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Should be able to get through all of you callers if you just stay online. Alan, continue with your thoughts, please.
Yeah, I'll just try to stick with one thought here. I mean, there's so much we can talk about.
I know.
It got kind of lighthearted, though, a little bit ago. It started sounding kind of like a gearhead car talk show. And along those lines, and along the lines of the fact that whether or not I don't know whether or not we will inform enough people to actually make a huge difference in this move towards global government and tyrannical economic slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so bottom line, while we carry on this fight in all the different ways, the battles that we each choose, that preparedness is an important part. It's part of the deal. I sponsor the RBN network, and we do wheatgrass kits, you know, to grow your own nutrition. You know,
wonderful. Thank you.
Self-sufficiency. And now one of the other...
Hey, you're the one that does this?
Yeah. In fact, the ad just played. It was such a coincidence. I can say it. Listen, can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice. I can do the whole thing. But
I have a friend that ordered your product.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. I have better than 70-year-old people that will call me up reordering their next bag of next 25 pounds of seed. People had ordered a year ago, and telling me that, you know, they've incorporated that, the, you know, the energy, the health. They've backed off on their vitamin purchases. That, you know, it really is a life changing tool.
Well, this is very, very important. Give us a little background, if you don't mind.
Well, if you've got the time for it, 40 years ago, Howard Schnabel was his name. I believe it was Howard, but Schnabel started studying grasses and the nutritional content. And when he studied these cereal grasses at the adolescent stage of growth, they were so compact in proteins, vitamins, amino acids, enzymes, sugars, everything that we need to live.
Uh-huh.
And so we can, you know, we grow this. My wife and I have done this for years. In fact, she'd probably leave me if I ever stopped growing it for her.
Uh-huh.
We do this for our own health and for, because we don't trust the food system. And we eat eggs and we have some animals out here and we buy some groceries. But if the proverbial poop hits the fan,
yes,
we've got it covered, because out of that bag of wheat, we can grow our wheatgrass for proteins, vitamins, minerals, and enzymes and sugars. And we can take some of that wheat and just sprout it a little bit, and instead of growing it up into grass, eat the sprouted wheat for starch, which is calories to burn. So out of that bag of wheat, we've got our calories to burn, plus everything else that we need to achieve not only self-sufficiency, but an advanced stage of health, immune function, and energetic performance than your average bear is going to have out there.
Uh-huh.
So that's in a nutshell, that's what that's all about.
Well, what's that phone number once again?
Yeah, it's 1-877-699-4328. And there's an easy way to remember that. It's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. And but what I was calling about, one of the other things that we've done to help maintain some degree of freedom from the lockdown system out here is that we watch the state surplus warehouse here in Texas. And you can find these things on eBay also, and I don't know where else, but about a decade ago, propane automobiles and trucks were kind of a big thing. Clean air was a big push, and
yes,
the state of Texas did thousands of these trucks and cars and sedans. And so we'll watch the surplus over there, and when I see a nice little pickup truck come up, and some of these things don't have very many miles on them, we've got a sedan that runs on propane or gasoline. I've got a Ford F-150 that runs on propane or gasoline.
Hmm.
And right now, propane is at about $1.80 a gallon.
Really?
Yeah, more than $1 a gallon cheaper. And you can run, I mean, they say 90% the distance. I think it's about the same. I think you can go just as far. It runs cleaner. It doesn't gunk up your valves. It doesn't gunk up your piston. And I'm just such a firm believer in that. I love this stuff. And they also have natural gas vehicles that have been converted to natural. And I think that in a if there were no fuels available, we would be able to produce methane from, remember the old chicken poop digesters? People would make methane and run their little Volkswagen thing back in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
And I think you can take methane and run it through these natural gas injector systems and just pressure it up. You could even put a hand crank on your compressor if you had to and compress that stuff into a tank and drive around a few miles on it if we ever needed to. So I just
What do you think the cost of converting to propane?
Converting is about a $1,500 process.
I see.
Now you would pay that off
in the gasoline.
Yeah, 1,000 gallons later you'd pay that off. So
right.
If you filled up 20 gallons a week, what is that? That's about a year or two it would take to pay for the system.
Uh-huh.
But the trick is to find one of these vehicles. Now, these vehicles might have 100,000 miles on them, but the engine is going to be clean. The compression is going to be high. These are smooth-running engines
mm-hmm.
that have been driven on propane. And so I just think that that's there aren't a whole lot of them out there, and it's just going to be the smart and persistent people that find these things and nail them down. the one fellow here in Austin, he runs a place called Alternative Fuel Systems. He recommended that I install a 100-gallon propane tank in the back of this pickup truck instead of the 20-gallon tank.
Sure.
He said, you know, you put 100 gallons in there, you can drive,
to the West Coast and back almost.
That's right. He said,
yeah.
And so in one of these emergency situations, you're not going to be stuck out, you know, at that peripheral point, 200 miles away where everybody runs out of gas and they're all parked at the gas stations,
mm-hmm.
not being able to go any farther. To have a car or a truck that's equipped not only with gasoline, but you've got an extra tank full of something that's even better and cheaper. So in the meantime, if there is no emergency, you're driving around propane, saving money.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's a great thing. But thanks for letting me plug the wheatgrass product, and we're in just full support of you over here. Even though, you know, a lot of people right here, they say, "Oh, that Alan, he's a screaming liberal. I can't help that. That's the way I was raised up." And the people I went to church with were liberals. The people I went to school with were liberals. And now I don't know what I am, Chris.
I don't either.
I'm a gun-toting. I won't let my kid into a public school, but I disagree with some points that some people make on the extreme statements. But
it's just amazing. I look at this article from October 1st, $2.5 billion hike sought for schools. When are they going to fund to continue dumbing down our children?
Well, they're the United Nations. Well, not the United Nations. The I forget what the organization was that was writing the curriculum for our schools here.
Uh-huh.
I saw this in one of the movies that we were showing around here on America's Choice, Freedom or Sustainable Development.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about, came right out and said, the sustainable society that we're aiming for will not be able to sustain a well-informed and educated population because a well-informed, educated population demands more of society and of the ecosystem, and they consume more.
Mm.
And they said it right there, just in bold print. You know, they've got to be not educated. We can't educate them.
There you go. It goes right back to Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, that unprovable document.
Yeah, it's a frightening situation. So we've got our, you know, we've got our daughter in with a group of families that are, we've actually been able to work with a charter school here in Austin that's able to, you know, maintain some kind of a distance from the core of the system, but still get some funding from it.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts, and I'm going to give you a call here. I hope you don't mind.
I will talk to you soon enough. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Alan.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. Tim in Texas. Hello, Tim.
Hey, my friend.
Yes.
How you doing?
Fine.
I think if people would check the air in their tires and keep them inflated properly, you don't have, that's all you would have to do. You know, I've been a mechanic all my life, and the way you lose gas mileage with tires is the
under inflation.
Yeah, under inflation. That's the only difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just check the air in your tires, people. You'll get better mileage. Tune your vehicle up, you'll get better mileage. Period. You know how that goes, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
You're sounding great out here.
Great.
Coming in, you sound like you're in the room with me. No kidding.
Wonderful.
Watch this thing this weekend on the Hurricane Katrina damage control on the, it was the Discovery Channel they put it on.
Mm-hmm.
And, do you know they never showed the actual track that storm took on that show? They showed it how most hurricanes, when they come off of Florida, will just kind of curve up and hit. But Katrina came straight across the Gulf, and when it got right below New Orleans, it took a 90-degree turn and headed right directly at New Orleans, because I sat here and watched it do it on the Weather Channel.
Mm-hmm.
So they never showed the real track of it. They used the term refugees.
Right away.
Oh, yeah. They stated a couple of times in it that they had never seen an eye of a hurricane stay together as long as this one did when it got on land.
Right.
Caught that for sure.
Well, it's all... You know, when you know it can be engineered, that's what needs to be publicized.
Yeah, right. And let's see. they kept stressing how there were way too many people in low-lying areas all across this nation, that we needed to have our wetlands back. They kept stressing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Agenda 21 stuff.
Relocation of populations.
Exactly. They spoke of global warming a little, but they seemed to press it more in the direction of a weather, what did they call it? A weather cycle, and that we are at the end. They had a guy come in and take sand samples from the swamps there, so he could read how far back and what kind of seasons they had. And took a long tube and sampled the soil, and he could actually tell through the years of how many big hurricanes came over and deposited ocean sand that far up you know,
mm-hmm.
up in the swamp. It was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But they stressed more that it was like a weather cycle.
Well,
but you know that was the only positive thing I saw in the whole deal, that they weren't laying it all off on global warming and us idiots up here burning gasoline.
Right.
You know, that was the only thing positive I saw in the whole show. The rest of the show was entirely damage control, and this thing went on for 3 hours, Chris.
Well, once again, we've got people that have been relocated. According to the news, they've been allowed to come back, but what are they coming back to? Devastation. Many haven't come back. Many haven't been accounted for, and we'd like to know where everyone went, wouldn't we?
Well, yeah, that I'm kind of curious.
Yeah.
I do know also that Hurricane Stan hit the major oil port in Mexico. I emailed you that
mm-hmm.
yesterday, I think. So.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts, Tim.
You know, that's they were after it, but they didn't get it because it was only down for 2 or 3 days, and that oil port, 80% goes to the United States.
Thanks for your thoughts, my friend. Running out of time. Let's go to Sheldon. Hello, Sheldon.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
Calling from a state of emergency like usual.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering, are you ever going to bring on Mark McCandlish or Tom Bearden to talk about weather control stuff?
I'm not sure.
Mark McCandlish was on George Norrie's show on September 27th, and there's a link to his website if you go to Coast to Coast AM.
Uh-huh.
And how come Richard Hoagland never comes on any of these shows on Republic or Genesis? Because he's got a pretty interesting thing. If you go to his website, enterprisemission.com, from Saturday, September 24th, he has something called Hyperdimensional Katrina Scientific Evidence Rita Update. And it shows this NEXRAD radar image taken 12 days before it hit New Orleans. It's a very interesting image to look at on his website.
Uh-huh.
It's, if you look at the image, it says here, the first thing one notices in looking at these frames are the bizarre, extraordinarily regular, vorticular patterns marching across the image, slowly rotating across the field of view in the span of the 18 minutes represented by the sequence. At first glance, this geometry could easily be mistaken for an image of the slowly rotating feeder bands of rain in the fully developed hurricane itself until one looks at the date on the radar image.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows the way it looks like something that's gradually sucking the hurricane in towards the United States on here.
Mm. I don't know. We'll have to check that out. But I appreciate your thoughts, Sheldon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Dylan. Dylan, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks, Chris. You're doing a great job today, as usual.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make one historical, trivial comment. I heard you mention Rumsfeld's
yes.
role back in the Ford administration.
Yes, he was Secretary of Defense, yes.
He was Secretary of Defense back then?
Yes.
As well?
Yes.
I didn't realize that. I knew he was the Ford's Chief of Staff at that time, and Dick Cheney was his deputy.
Uh-huh. Makes sense. The way I found out that Donald Rumsfeld was Secretary of Defense during the Ford administration was the lawsuit that William Pabst sued the federal government over the concentration camp program. I have the documentation in a notebook here. The entire notebook is devoted to that lawsuit, and he was suing Henry Kissinger, Gerald Ford, and also Donald Rumsfeld, who was Secretary of Defense at the time.
All right. I didn't quite know that.
Okay, Sarah, Dylan, thank you.
All right, God bless you.
God bless you. We're about to move to a commercial pause, so let's keep the last caller, John, in place. And $2.5 billion hike sought for schools, listeners. The State Board of Education on Friday voted to ask the legislature for $351 million more next fiscal year to fund common education. Does that mean they're going to bring phonics back into the schools? Would be logical to do that, wouldn't it? We'll be back to continue and wrap it up with John in Colorado. Stay with us. Today, John in Colorado. Hello, John.
Hello there, Chris DeGunner.
Yes, sir.
Keep 'em shooting guy. You are a lot louder and clearer on WWRB than you were WWCR.
Good to hear.
Now, I wanted to add something to what the man was talking about, Jeb Bush. What do white young girls and bricks have in common?
Tell us.
They'll probably all be laid by Mexicans. See you later.
You know, people, I don't know what to say at this point in time with the people that have migrated to America at this stage of the game where we are now. It's the human race that's being attacked. I mean, they're not discriminating against the hurricanes, the tornadoes, earthquakes. Pakistan just got one. Iran got an earthquake last year. They're not discriminating against who they're going to nail, this weather machine, environmental modification. And the black population at this point in time, we're brothers in this mess. We're brothers and sisters in this mess. And it's just a handful of people at the top controlling it. And once again, do we know anything about what happens at the Security Council branch of the UN system, of which the Russian or Russian satellite country has prominence at the Security Council? The Security Council is in charge of UN peacekeeping operations, listeners. There's agendas for population reduction, apparently, according to the information that I have here. And it's on our website, AmericanExpose.com. I don't think it's logical to bring race into the situation at this point in time. It's just like beating up on Tiger Woods for having a Swedish wife. I don't think it's logical to do that at this juncture. Maybe that was the design from the past to integrate us all, but we're with it today. But the entire human race is being attacked. They aren't discriminating against wars. They never have. The goal is to nail Germany at one time. Well, Germany has been in control and under control. Japan is in control and under control. Japan has most of our debt today. It goes on and on and on. And now we have a Middle East mess. And the UN is there. And the Communist Party of Iraq is there. The Communist Party of USA is here. And yet our U.S. code says communism is a conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States. It's on our website. So what is our deal today? Communitarianism. Reinvented communism. George Bush is a communitarianism, is a communitarian. Al Gore, communitarian. Hillary Clinton, communitarian. Bill Clinton, communitarian. And Bill Clinton certainly launches initiative, the Katrina initiative. He's in charge of the FEMA, actually he's in charge of the relief for the tsunami earth, the tsunami weather disaster, or the tsunami disaster, or the created crisis as a tsunami bomb was built in 1944. Connect the dots, listeners. I'll be back tomorrow. God bless you all.